Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Give honor to all of our district youth presidents and our national youth president, whom I appreciate the job that he has done. I just told Brother Steve Boyd up here on the platform, as I look back, I said, we've come a long ways. And I thank God for everything that he's done, giving honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to try to keep you a long time. I'm just going to deliver to you what the Lord has laid on my heart and try to be expedient with it, knowing that time is closing in on us. So if you would stand with me today and turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Praise the Lord. The book of Acts, chapter 8. Somebody told me yesterday that some of the speakers, I was speaking, talking to one of the speakers, the other speakers of the conference, and told me that Brother Livingston on Tuesday night had gotten up, and after he preached, they had felt like he had been looking at their notes and had got a hold of the things that they was going to preach. But Brother Carpenter, last night, Brother Moses made mention of how they hang jeans up and shoot holes through it. Well, Brother Carpenter last night hung my sermon up and just blasted holes all through it. And then Brother Moses got up and he didn't feel like it was enough and shot it again. So we're going to preach some Swiss cheese to you this morning. Amen. Praise God. But ain't God good? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, we'll let the word be established this week. Amen. Praise God. Love what I feel, and I'm feeling the Lord that I love today. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse number 5. The Bible says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Verse number 11 says, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Praise the Lord. They were baptized, both men and women. I'd like to preach this morning for just a little while on this topic, schismatics and sorcerers. Schismatics and sorcerers. Can we lift up our hands and love the Lord today? Father, we worship you. We praise you this morning for your goodness and your mercy and all the blessings, Lord, that you have bestowed. Now, Father, bless your word, I pray. Anoint the lips of clay. Touch, God, every individual that we might receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The Bible says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Several years ago, when the Lord first called me to preach, and I was young and just beginning and getting started, I remember as I looked around at my colleagues that were there, the same generation that I am growing up with and have had around me for some time, I must say that I had a concern. Concern gripped my heart because among those men, I saw what I considered a little bit of too much foolishness and folly. I began to see things that bothered me because I had always been taught that we were to preach the gospel with the bread of sincerity, that we were to preach it from the bottom of our hearts. And as Brother Carpenter said last night, we were to be real, that the same man that stood in the pulpit was to walk the streets. And the same message we preach from the pulpit, we were to preach in the streets with our life and with our actions. But I must admit today that as I stand here, I have seen a progression of godliness and a progression of desire come to the hearts of the ministry that is of my age. I believe that we are living in a generation of ministry that is desiring to see a revival like they've never seen before. I really believe that this morning. I believe that we've got ministers that are my age today and my generation that are seeking God upon their knees, and they're fasting and they're praying and they're looking for direction from the Lord. We no longer need, we never have needed sermons, but what we have really needed is a word from the Lord. We need God to speak in our church services. I believe that there are pastors that are of my age and a little bit older and a little bit younger that really do desire to see church growth. They desire to see a thriving congregation. They desire to see unity in the Spirit and unity in purpose. They desire to see holiness in the heart and holiness in appearance. They desire to see God's move upon their congregations. And I'm here to say this morning, there's only one route and there's only one thing that will bring that to our churches, and that is preaching the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and the Bible says he preached Christ unto them. That's the only message I know. Paul said, all I know is Jesus Christ in Him crucified. That's the only message that will bring a sinner to repentance. It's the only message that will deliver the drug addict and the alcoholic. It's the only message this morning that will bring the lost to a found place in God. The message of Jesus Christ must be preached. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can have our youth programs to keep our youth excited. We can have Valentine's dinners for our married couples. We can have Silver Ladies programs for our elderly. We can do everything program-wise to keep people involved and keep people excited. But it is essential that there be a continuity of the message of Jesus Christ. A one God apostolic death, burial, and resurrection message that will turn a life around. The only way you'll get a sinner to repent is to preach the death of Jesus Christ. The only way you'll bring that repentant sinner to the water is to preach the burial of Jesus Christ. And the only way you'll get them filled with the Holy Ghost is to preach the third day resurrection when it come up out of the grave. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't get me wrong. If there ever has been a man that believed in programs, I do. I have set up our church and we've got programs, and I've delegated authority to a council, and we're working with church growth programs, and God is blessing through those things. But every time we come together for our monthly meeting, and every time we do anything, it is first prayer that comes to realize that God must have a seat at the council table. God must have a seat in the midst of every program, or everything we do will be in vain if we don't allow God to move. Look at what accompanied the message of Jesus Christ. Look at what accompanied the message. The Bible says in verses 7 and 8 that unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. The Bible says many that were taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what will bring the miracles.
And what will bring deliverance and what will bring joy is nothing but the message of Jesus Christ. We can sing them happy, but I'd rather preach them happy, because when you preach somebody happy, you put a seed in their heart that'll never pass away. When you preach somebody to a miracle, you put a seed in their heart that'll never corrupt, because it lives and abides forever. When we preach faithfully and consistently that message, it will bring these things into our churches and into our lives. I don't profess to be any great faith healer. I don't profess to be any great miracle worker. But I do profess to be a Jesus name preacher. And that's all I need to be to see the signs follow me. The signs will follow the believers. Praise God. Amen. In my experience, I've seen in our church years ago, I remember a man that had an accident with a chainsaw, and he cut his leg, and he went to a bigger hospital outside of our city in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And as he was there, the doctor came to him and said, "Sir, I'm sorry to say, but your leg will never get any further above off the floor than that right there." I remember my father stepping to the pulpit on that Wednesday night. There was no great move. There was no dancing and shouting. He simply got up and said, "Church, we need a miracle." The church began to pray. We prayed fervently. The next morning, that man could kick his leg, slap up above his waist, because God had come into that room during the night and performed a miracle. Just in recent, the last couple of years, I've laid hands upon an alcoholic. I'm careful about making things bigger than they are. I'm not going to tell you I've laid hands on alcoholics and make it look like I've laid hands on one alcoholic that I can tell you of and testify of this morning. And I remember when he came to the altar, I laid hands on him, and I was impressed to pray, "God, remove this stark desire in his life for that alcohol." And I began to pray, and I began to rebuke that spirit. And this boy who had been drinking constantly since he was 12 years old, this 27-year-old boy was delivered from that desire of alcoholism. He didn't need the AA. He didn't need a program of the world. All he needed was Jesus Christ in him crucified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Laid hands upon another young man, a drug addict, had been hooked on drugs since he was just a young teenager. I laid hands on him one night in a revival service, and God delivered him from that drug addiction. Today he sits on our second row. I married him this past March to a one God apostolic lady. Don't tell me the message of Jesus Christ will not deliver. It'll deliver the bound. It'll set you free. All we need to do is preach Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The message of Christ will birth signs, and it will birth wonders. Amen. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Before Samaria was known as Samaria, it was known by the name of the Northern Kingdom, or the Kingdom of Israel. In a revolt from Rehoboam's iron-handed rule, Jeroboam was made the first king of this 10-tribed nation. It became known in the Old Testament as Israel, or as I've said, the Northern Kingdom. Jeroboam's schism was not religious, but political. The division that he tried to make was not a religious division, it was a political division. His object was to separate Israel not from God, but from Jerusalem. But you cannot separate the people from Jerusalem without separating them from God. You cannot withdraw yourself from the holy Mount of Zion and not withdraw yourself from the dwelling presence of God. We must have Jerusalem. In accomplishing this, Jeroboam did several things. Number one, as he divided the two nations, he set up two golden calves in the 10-tribe nation, declaring them to be the God which brought them out of Egypt. It was not his intent to lead them off into idol worship, though that's what he was doing. But it was his intent to bring in these calves to represent the God which delivered them from Egypt. He put one in Bethel, the other in Dan. The calves were not produced with the intent to lead the people away from God, but rather they were made to serve as a support for the invisible presence of Yahweh. Calves came. I begin to study and wonder about why a calf. Why did he set up golden calves? Calves came from where Jeroboam had come from. They come from Egyptian worship. They came from heathenistic worship. Not only Egypt, but all of the heathen nations worshipped calves. Because, you see, calves tilled the ground. Calves treaded the meal. Calves put food upon the table. Calves were a key to economic success. The calf was, of course, a likening of Egypt, which is a likening of carnality and worldliness. It is so despicable how that our world and our Samaritan society has gotten to the place that it takes something carnal and something ungodly and something wicked to make a success of their life. They are worshipers of the calf. It takes something carnal. Hollywood, you've got to be a movie star. You've got to cut your hair. You've got to put on the makeup. You've got to look like them. And you've got to serve the calf to be an economic success in our world. They're worshipers of the calf. They're worshipers of this. But thank God we've got some godly people here today that are not willing to kiss the calf. They're not willing to worship the calf. They're not willing to bow down to that. I want you to know, young person, you may not get success in this world, but if you'll hang on to the Lamb of God, if you'll hang on to the One God apostolic message, you'll have an eternal success that'll pass on from this world and never die away. Hallelujah. Calf. Calf was something that they could put a ring in its nose, lead it around. People want a God they can lead around. People want a God they can control. People want a God they can put a harness on, stick them out in their own field and plow the ground, have success in life, and just believe in Jesus Christ and lay your hand on the screen while I put my hand up, and we'll put a harness on God, and we'll put a monopoly on heaven, and we'll control this thing. That's what they teach. That's what they practice. Amen. Hey, blow upon thousands of people and they fall back. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's knocking people down is a bad breath of false doctrine. It ain't got nothing to do with God. It ain't got nothing to do with truth. It is nothing but worshiping the calf. Hallelujah. Question came to my mind. Why not a lamb? Set up a golden calf. Why not a golden lamb? That was representative of Israel. That was the thing that represented. Israel was not a bunch of herders with calves. They were shepherds with sheep. Why not set up a lamb? Because when they set up their flock of sheep and begin to nurture them and begin to let them grow, and that lamb, that one lamb in the midst of the flock that became beautiful, that lamb that was in the midst of the flock that became fat and would have brought the most money, they knew they couldn't take that lamb and sell it. That lamb represented sacrifice. It represented something that they had to give unto God and worship unto Him. But the world doesn't want to worship the lamb because it represents sacrifice. Represents something we've got to give up. Hey friend, if it's going to gain heaven for me, I'm willing to give it up. Some people say, preacher, do I have to? Oh, listen, friend, if it'll get you heaven, go ahead and do it. If it'll gain you eternal life, go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hosea 13, 2 and 3 says, the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. They shall be as the morning cloud that passes away. But I like what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 12. He said, kiss, the capital S-O-N, kiss the Son. Blessed are all they. Blessed are they that take part in kissing the Son. I don't want to kiss the world, but I want to kiss the Lamb. I don't want to kiss carnality. I don't want to be hugging up to worldliness, but I want to be kissing the Lamb. I want to be loving my God. I want to give everything I've got unto the Lamb. Hallelujah. The hope of the world throughout all the ages. And the axis of the complete Bible story swing upon this one statement where a very uncouth prophet was standing in Jordan's river, and he pointed up and he said, behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. That's what our whole message swings on this morning, is the Lamb. I don't care to worship calves. I want to worship the Lamb. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to worship the Lamb. Built two calves, number two. Second thing he did, he built a house of worship. He withdrew himself from Jerusalem and he built a house of worship. But you see, Jerusalem's temple had a specific pattern of worship. There was only one way you could worship in Jerusalem. No other way. There was a pattern. Amen. I thank God tonight we've got, or today, that we've got a pattern. We've got a specific way that we worship God. Hallelujah. And there's no other way that it can be done. I don't know about you, but when I get in the presence of people who claim to be something they're not, I can tell there's a difference in the pattern. I can tell that they just don't worship God the way I worship God. This is where God placed His name, in Jerusalem. To get outside of this pattern was to commit a sacrilege. Although Jeroboam's temple was constructed with intent to imitate the one in Jerusalem, heathenistic views were allowed to influence the worship. Oh God, don't ever let heathenistic views control our worship. Don't ever let the calf enter into our house and begin to have loud views in our people and in our church, and especially from our pulpits. I tell my people at home, and I mean it from my heart, if I have to go back working full time, I'll go back working full time. But I'm not going to soothe the ears of anybody in my congregation. I'm not going to soothe the ears of the best tithe payer. I'm going to tell it like it is. We need preachers that'll tell it like it is. Hallelujah. Our world has constructed their own house of worship. They don't like what goes on here. I like what Brother Carpenter said last night. Our dress condemns the world. That's why they didn't want Gina Vera and Heritage wearing long hair, no makeup. It condemns them. It condemns them. Sister Gina and them went to a church here not too long ago who claims to have what we have, and they sang, and after service they went out, and I mean, they begin to really scoff them and scorn at them. You don't have to wear your hair like that. You don't have to do that. Their words were condemning them, while Gina Vera and Heritage Spirit was condemning those. What we are will condemn the world. Jesus said that's why they don't come to the light, because they know that their deeds shall be reproved. Praise God. We'll have rock and roll stars will gather out in the West, and they'll raise money for Farm Aid. And they claim good works by that, and they'll put each other in heaven. We've got rock stars that'll show up in Europe, and they'll sing, and they'll build their house of worship, and they'll send support to Ethiopian kids that are starving. And they'll put each other in heaven by it. Hollywood will come with a list that would swoon the masses. And they will gather together and raise money for a disease that is caused by a sin act. They will support the AIDS cause because they know that that is within their own ranks. Hey friend, let me tell you something. They can do all the good works they want to. They can send money to the needy. They can lift up the down. But it will not put one individual into the pearly gates. Not one good work. By grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. God, not of your works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. They'll gather together in groves. And they'll worship God, or what they think is worship. They'll do what they think is right. But I want you to know, His name is not in their house. His name is not in their house. If that weren't bad enough, the Levitical priesthood had left. So the third thing Jeroboam had to do was set up priests that were not Levites. He put up preachers that weren't the sons of Levi. Not having a Levitical priesthood to carry on the execution of worship. I'm going to tell you something. You need a God-called man to execute worship. You need a God-sent man to execute worship. You can have the world's greatest song leader. You can have the world's greatest groups. You can worship until the night goes long. But if you don't have a God-sent man sitting on the platform, you might as well give it up and go home. It ain't no good anyway. Praise God. Not being able to live by the standards and doctrines of Jerusalem, he had to set up his own priesthood. The world can't live by our standards. They can't live by their doctrine, by our doctrines. So they set up their own priesthood. But Paul told Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, preach the word! Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not be able to endure sound doctrine. But they shall heap to themselves. There are shovels of them out there. They'll heap to themselves teachers. I guarantee you, in whatever city you live in, you can find a dozen of Jeroboam's temples in comparison to Jerusalem. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, without any examination of what or who they are. They choose teachers that satisfy their own appetite. And the next verse says, they shall turn their ears away from the truth. They don't like the truth. They don't. Brother Carpenter asked us last night if we believe that one God message. Yes, I believe it. Yes, I believe it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word shall not pass away. I believe the message. And Paul commanded Timothy to preach it. In the midst of this society we live in, we need to cry against the evil. It's one thing to stand for what is right, but it's another thing to cry against what is wrong. God told Jonah, He said, get up, arise. And get down to Nineveh and cry against the wickedness of the city. Don't just sit here in your little hometown and stand for what is right. Get out there in the evil streets and cry against what is wrong. when we quit preaching against homosexuality, when we quit preaching against charismatic movements, when we stop preaching against sin and adultery and all these things, then we are not the men of God that we're called to be. Praise God. Got his own Levitical priesthood. Brother Moses stepped all over this one. Ahab got him, got himself up with Jehoshaphat. He said, Jehoshaphat, I want to rise against Ramoth-Gilead. I want you to join me. It's our land. It's our property of what's promised us. You know, that's just what the charismatic world wants to do with us. Come on, let's make a league together. Come on, let's join ranks together. Just don't preach the name. Let's get a conference. I tell you what we need. We need a worldwide Pentecostal conference. Let's just make it Pentecostal. But you know what? They'll call us up and say, hey, but wait a minute. We'll take care of the preachers. Let us put up the preachers. Don't worry about that. We've got the list. So Ahab was sitting on his throne all dressed up in his robes, and Jehoshaphat sitting over here on his throne all dressed up in his robes, and 400 prophets begin to scream, you'll win, you'll win, you'll win. But the man from Jerusalem, I said, the man from Jerusalem, he said, is there not a man of God around here somewhere? Have we not got a prophet of the Lord that will speak to us? Hey, friend, when the world screams and preaches their ungodly doctrines, I can tell the voice of them. It's not the voice of God. Have we not got a voice in the world today that will preach the doctrine of God? Praise God. Ahab said, yeah, there's one. I like what he said. He said, but I hate him. He said, I hate that man. Because every time he preaches, he steps on my toes. You better thank God somebody's stepping on your toes. You better thank God you've got a preacher that'll come down off the platform and get in your face and tell you like it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, well, I get embarrassed. Friend, you ain't been embarrassed until you've been in Sanford, North Carolina under Bishop G.L. Aker Sr. I've had the microphone jerked out of my hand. I've been made example of. He come off the platform when I was a kid, me and David, and used to just keep right on preaching and slap us when we was playing, keep right on preaching. Just nail us and keep right on going. But thank God, look where it brought me to today. Look where I am right now. Thank God for the preaching that'll get in my face and tell me the way it is. But no, they want the 400 prophets to scratch their itching ear. So Micaiah comes up. Says, let's hear it. Ahab says, let's hear the word. Micaiah says, you'll do fine. Boy, Ahab got mad. He said, you're lying. Come on, tell me the word. Micaiah said, okay, you're going to die. You're going to die. We need God's word. We need God's word. Hey, friend, if I'm on a road to spiritual death, I want a man of God to get in my face and tell me. If I'm on my way to some damnation, my God, give me an anointed preacher that'll tell me where I am. That'll preach the truth of God's word to me. Praise God. The last thing he did, he ordained a feast. But the Bible says he ordained a feast, Jeroboam did, like unto the one that is in Judah. Just like the one that's in Jerusalem. Why didn't he stay in Jerusalem? Why didn't he just stay where he belonged? Because he wanted to look just as much like us as he could. Brother Carpenter hit it last night. I told you he shot my message. He said that people say they'll watch the videos of those charismatic services And oh, they've got choirs, and oh yeah, they kick and they sling what little hair they've got. With them ornaments swinging. They'll do what they can. And somebody come back and say, I felt that. I felt something in that. We need to wake up. There's nothing in that. There's not. I was sitting over there thinking today, with the music we've got here, we have no reason. And I know you've heard this before, and I'm not saying this just to repeat it to get a clap, but it's the honest God's truth. We do not need any reason to be ashamed of what we've got. Hey, friend, God has blessed us with the best there is. Last night on this platform, I looked over at Brother Mark McCool and I said, man, it's hot up here. I can feel the electricity as one group come up after another and we begin to worship God in top quality performance. We begin to lift up the name of Jehovah. Thank God for what we've got. Praise God. Jeroboam's great sin was forming a schism. He was a schismatic. He divided himself. Paul said about them men, he said, what I do that I will do that I may cut off occasion to them which desire occasion. They're always desiring an occasion with the church. That wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. They're looking to be like us. Hey, don't be fooled. They want what we've got. Don't be fooled, church. The charismatics want what the church has got. They want the power we've got. We just don't have to blow on them. They want what we've got. I was watching the son of the man that brother spoke of a while ago, one of these televangelists, a few years back. He was talking and he would do this. He would say, he was talking about his missions, his work. He said, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not done. Wait a minute. They keep on talking. I sat there and thought, man, you are such a fool. I didn't call him fool. God did. I'm just repeating His word. Schismatics, dividing themselves from the body, but wanting the same God we've got. Prophet after prophet conveyed God's word to the people, but the voice of God fell on deaf ears. Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Amos constantly preached to them, but they would not listen. This world will not listen to the voice. How many times have we preached and it seems like our message falls on deaf ears? But when you leave Jerusalem, your worship will become corrupt. Your ears will become deafened and you will not be able to hear the voice of God. The Bible says Philip went down to the city of Samaria. I'm bringing it into a close. He come down to the city of Samaria a little over 1,000 years later from the story I've just told you. 25 generations have passed. Now this apostolic evangelist takes the message of Christ to the same Samaria that Jeroboam began with. But now, notice what the schism had made. Samaria is half Hebrew and half heathen. Samaria is now worshiping paganism and Judaism. They've got a mixture in their worship. Samaria is now baptizing, Brother Carpenter, wherever you are, people in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus' name. It's a mixture. A Samaritan society. It's all mixed up. But the Bible says He preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. They have come through a millennium of wicked, idolatrous kings. They've come through captivities and wars. They have worshipped pagan gods. And now they are bound by a sorcerer. Now they're bound by this man. They all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Notice that statement. Not just a great power. He is the great power of God. Simon was proclaiming himself to be the advocate, the intercessor, the paraclete. He is now proclaiming to be the Almighty, Father Divine. He's claiming to be everything that they need, the great power, and they're bound by Him. And to Him they had regard that because of a long time He had bewitched them with sorceries. The word bewitched means amazed, spellbound, out of one's mind, beside one's self. There's a lot of Samaritan sorcerers that have bound the multitudes. They think that their preacher is the power of God. That's why he can blow on them and 400 or 500 fall at one time. Because they're spellbound. They're out of their mind. They're beside themselves. They have been bewitched by the Samaritan sorcerers of our society. We who are in truth look at them and say, how in the world can you follow such a dodo bird like that? But you see, we've got Jesus. We've got Jesus. But they're spellbound by this Samaritan sorcerer. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:13, he said, let's get the record straight. If we be beside ourselves, if we be shouting, if we be running the aisles, if we be out of our mind, it is God. It's not a sorcerer. It's not the preacher. It's not the music. But if we be beside ourselves, it's the power of God. I saw a lot of people here last night who were spellbound. I saw some folks out of their mind. And I want you to know, it wasn't the preacher. It wasn't anybody up here. But it was the one from up above that got us out of our mind. Hallelujah. Can we all stand? I don't know about you, but I don't want to get hooked on phonics. I don't want to get hooked. Hallelujah. I don't want to get hooked on Samaritan sorcerers. I just said that because it sounded good to me anyway. I don't want to get hooked on the Samaritan society. I want to get hooked on Jesus. I want to get hooked on Jesus. Amen. And let me just go as far as to say this and bust it wide open. Carmen thinks he's addicted to Jesus. But he's not. Because if he was addicted to Jesus, he would be sold on Jesus' name baptism. He'd be sold on the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. He's not addicted to Jesus. He is addicted to a Samaritan society of sorcerers that are bewitching the world. I want to get beside myself in Jesus Christ. I want to be spellbound by His love. To this Samaritan society, the Bible says, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. You know what Samaria needs? They need an evangelist from Jerusalem. He came from Jerusalem down to Samaria. What the world needs is a one God apostolic tongue-talking preacher. We need apostolic evangelists. We need apostolic pastors. The Bible says when they believed, they were baptized. Both men and women. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to be beside myself in Jesus. I want to get spellbound today by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, friend. You ever seen the reaction of somebody that's hooked on drugs? You ever seen somebody try to walk that's drunk? Maybe not quite that fast. You ever seen somebody wide-eyed on drugs? I want to get wide-eyed on Jesus. I want to get spellbound on Jesus. I want to get hooked on the Holy Ghost. I want to be beside myself today. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Let's give Him a great hand of applause. Praise God.
What kind Hallelujah. Of church is this? It's a sanctified church. What kind of church is this? It's a sanctified church. church is this? It's a sanctified church. It's a hand clapping, foot stomping, tongue talking, Holy Ghost sanctified church. What kind of church is this? It's a sanctified church. What kind of church is this? Sanctified church. What kind of church is this? Sanctified church. My hand clapping, foot stomping, tongue talking, Holy Ghost sanctified church.